lasso. Everything that I know says I gotta go. Tired of going solo, but I'm never gonna go there again. This is what it is. This is who I am. This is where I'm finally. Yes. Yes. Good day, everyone. This is Eddie Huff with Dave Van Rysingham. Hey, this is the week ending with Saturday, February 5th, 2022. We're already in the second month of this new year. Man, these and years just go by.
Where really, did the really groundhog quick. Go? That's what I want
well,
to
Well, he's
know.
Not here yet. Yeah. He will be here. He will be here. Just give him time and he will be here. Hopefully. Well, fortunately, the mayor of New York, the former mayor, is not the one picking him up because he'd be in danger. Did you ever see that video where he dropped, the New York mayor dropped the New York City has their own groundhog.
Oh,
you didn't know about
no.
that? Yeah, they have their
Makes
own
sense.
Woodchuck, which is what Punxsutawney Phil is, this groundhog. And the mayor of New York picked theirs up and dropped him. And killed him, basically.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That guy, you talk about a person.
De Blasio?
De Blasio killed the New York City groundhog. I mean, if that didn't get rid of him, nothing will. That shows how bad the people of New York. I guarantee you, if whoever, you know, holds Punxsutawney Phil and killed him, then they would be finished.
Was that be a few years ago?
Yeah, it's a few years
Maybe ago. That's what unleashed COVID. The Earth's
revenge,
came out of balance. Yes, all is not right in the universe.
That could be. It was like the year before COVID.
What else can we blame on the Democrats?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, one thing we've got to say, we thought the Blasio was bad. This guy, it appears, may be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new one. And here's what's so sad about it, okay? They elect a black mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And now the problem is, see, de Blasio was married to a black woman, so they gave him a little slack because he's married to a black woman, had a mixed son who was kind of like me. But all of his kids came out a lot darker. You know, they weren't really, didn't look mixed. They were, and they, of course, wore their black, their big afros and everything. But this one now... I mean, this guy, you know, he hires his brother as head of his security, who has no experience in real law enforcement or anything. It's just rank nepotism is what we're talking about.
Yep.
So this is the type of stuff that's going on. New York City is just a mess. They call it the Big Apple, but it's the big rotten apple. I mean, it's just, you know, I have a feeling within probably 5 years, if this keeps going on, the seat of financial power is going to move, move to Miami or someplace else.
I hope so.
Further south, you know, maybe Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte, North Carolina. It actually would be a good place because it's right in the center of the Atlantic coast there.
Yeah.
It'd be a perfect place.
And it's straddled on both sides of the Carolinas, you know, in both states.
Yeah. So, but it's just a Raleigh would even be good because you've got all the universities right there and everything to draw from.
Not such a fan.
I can tell. Yeah. I never realized how close Duke, Wake Forest, North Carolina State and all of those.
North Carolina. Yeah.
Are right. I mean, they're like 2 miles, you know, it's like TU and, or are you, you know, but you've got all these major universities, ACC schools, all like within a couple of miles of each other. It's pretty crazy stuff. But anyway, so the new black mayor of New York City is not really much, if any, better than the former mayor. And of course, this year, so Jose Biden shows up, right? Yeah. And they, what does he blame it? You know, crime, and they're going to take care of crime. But what do they really decide they're going to take care of?
Guns. Yes.
You know, and here's the thing: they blame the crime on guns that are bought in Georgia.
Yeah,
that was so funny.
Yeah, and Georgia's doing fine.
Georgia's fine. Yeah, it reminds me of the mayor of Chicago, our illustrious mayor of Chicago, Murder City.
Yeah,
and she blamed it on Gary, Indiana.
Yep.
Now here's what's funny to me. Okay. you've got very liberal gun laws in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pick a state.
Virginia.
Pick Mississippi, Alabama, mm-hmm. all the way across Arkansas, Oklahoma. Yeah. Okay,
right,
Texas. And well, if that were the case, you think it was the wild, wild west mm-hmm. in those states, or go? You could have just gone west,
yeah.
right from New York over to Ohio, Indiana, yeah. one of those states. And why is the gun crime in those states not out of control?
Yeah.
That it's so obviously that's not the problem, that they yeah. have open
yeah.
gun laws.
What's the axiom? An armed society is a polite society.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't diss people because they can whack you.
As we've seen in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
Burglaries, I guarantee you, are down in Oklahoma yeah. since the. And who's doing most of the shooting of burglars in Oklahoma?
Homeowners.
No. What kind of homeowner? Women.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
It's women. Yeah. Guys are coming in and some housewife is home alone. The guy thinks, oh, I got an easy target here.
Right.
But in Oklahoma, women are not easy yeah. targets because women know how to shoot in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And they're shooting these people dead. Yeah.
In fact, my wife's grandfather was showing off his new RV this several years ago. And he showed me... you know, the things he says, and this is where I'm going to keep my 12 gauge. And I think, now this is a snowbird. He goes to Florida half the year. And I said, really? I said, you keep, and he says, oh yeah. He says, you know, he said, when I was at the dealer picking this one out, he mentioned, and the guy said, now here's a good place to keep a gun. And he looked at him and he says, oh, he says, I thought I was the only RVer who carried a gun. I kept quiet about it. He no. says, oh, no. He says, you ever notice you do not hear of RVers becoming victims because they're all packing?
Yeah.
And he thought, wow, I just thought it was me. But now on the opposite end of that, back when Obama was president, there was a terrorist action at an airport. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think if this was in Jacksonville, Florida, I seem to recall. And where did this Middle Eastern terrorist go? He went to the metal detector line. Because by standing in that line, you're making an admission. I am unarmed. And I'm going to prove it by walking through that metal detector. And yet at the same time, until you get through there, you're not in a secure environment.
Right.
So they're literally creating a killing field by a no-gun rule. You know, you do not enter this building. And this is true of every federal, every state building that has a military, every county courthouse. Mm-hmm. We create a killing field.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, that's why schools, churches, things like this are just easy marks. Places. Yeah. If you put a sign on your door, no guns allowed,
yeah.
you're just basically saying,
yeah.
we welcome shooters.
In my feeling on this is there's a moral obligation. If the government is going to require you to be without arms for any reason, they take upon themselves the moral responsibility to be responsible for your well-being. And the problem is, ask the Indian tribes, how did that work out for them? You know, and so it just, I'm sorry, the government cannot be trusted for something so important as my life.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I totally agree. Which brings me to a point. I was going to save this for later for a discussion. I've got a lot of other stuff. But this brings me to the point of the CON.
Yeah.
The Constitutional Convention.
Well, I think they call it Convention of States.
Convention of States.
Specific term.
Right. But it's been called the CON. In other words,
because it's a type of constitutional convention.
Right. But it's also a con. In my opinion, it's a con.
Cheesy, but it'll work, Eddie.
Yeah, thank you. All right, for those that don't know what this is, it's allegedly, I say, because we don't know who really began this, but what it is, it's supposed to be a call for a constitutional convention to strengthen our Constitution and our constitutional rights, that be the First, Second Amendment and other amendments that are conservative amendments, okay, to protect our constitutional rights. Constitutional rights can really only be protected one way, and that is by protecting our rights. In other words, enforcing.
Asserting our rights, yeah.
Well, enforcing the rights we have. Yeah. It's like when I was youth with a mission, there was a man named Gordon Olson. He had written a book called The Moral Government of God. Mm-hmm. And basically, I won't go into the whole deal, but the thing that has always stuck with me was the statement when he said, laws without consequences are only good advice.
Yep.
That's all they are.
Yep.
And so if you have laws without consequences, it's nothing more than good advice. So the Constitution on which our laws are supposed to be based are no good if they don't have consequences. Yep. The reason we have out of control crime in big cities in America, which are all run by Democrats, mm-hmm. is because they are not enforcing the laws.
Right.
The reason you have gun crimes and shootings and murders and all of these things, high rapes, assaults, etc., Chinese people, Asian people being attacked in cities, is because we're not enforcing the laws. You have these DAs and prosecutors that have been elected by people like George Soros, and all the money that he has poured into these campaigns is because they are not enforcing the laws.
Can I go a little further?
No, than that let point? Me finish.
Okay.
They are not penalizing the people. There's no cash bail or low cash bail. They have reduced penalties for major crimes to almost nothing. So basically, there is no punishment. There is no penalty for crime. So once you do that, all you're saying is you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. It's like the Saturday Night Live skit I saw they had years ago. Again, it was Gilda Radner and Chevy Chase or Chevy and one of the others. And they drive their parents driving. The kids are acting up in the back there. Don't make us come back there. Don't make us stop this car. And, you know, first you're throwing things and they're yelling. And the next thing, you know, you see fists flying. Next thing, all of a sudden you see blood splattering in the backseat. If you don't stop, we will stop this car. Well, they never stop the car. And it just gets worse and worse until there's blood everywhere. You know. Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing what Saturday Night Live used to do mm-hmm. in speaking to true issues, which they no longer do, sadly. So anyway, what I'm getting at is it's not guns. And I know people say guns have not shot anyone ever. It's people that use the guns that shoot people. So anyway, that's my thing. We have got to enforce the laws. We have got to follow the Constitution as it is written, and it will take care of itself and follow the laws that the Constitution has set in place and obey them. That's all it is. If you will obey them, it will take care of itself. We do not need a constitutional convention.
It's deeper than that, Eddie. It's not about just the laws, the statutes, if you will. It's about their violation of their oath in office to uphold and defend the Constitution, including every constitutional right guaranteed, so that the person has the right to protect himself, that they are not the subjects under the control of the government to decide to what level our lives are to be protected.
All right, and you tell me how a constitutional convention is going to change that.
Well, yes, and let's move on to that. I was just making a point of grounds for being removed from office is violation of your oath of office. In fact, the Speaker Pro Temp of the Oklahoma Legislature is being challenged in court criminally under the charge of violating his oath of office. Okay?
Okay.
And thank God. I mean, I work on a project with David Oldham, Constitutional Grounds, and he says, we have got to get back to starting to enforce this against our very legislatures.
Well, I agree. From the top down.
Right.
Okay. And a subject you and I had talked about off air.
Yeah.
The 2020 election.
Yeah.
That laws weren't enforced. Pennsylvania, right?
Right.
But just now, the courts are finding and have found that basically what the legislature in Pennsylvania did was illegal. But with the drop boxes and the late accepting the ballots that were later. They extended the deadlines and everything. Okay, so what?
Okay, the Constitution wasn't enforced. They created in violation of the Constitution.
I agree. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Okay, it's all about, you said the right word, it's enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we're not going to enforce, what does it become? It's a good suggestion.
Yes.
That's all.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. So a new constitutional convention writing new laws is not going to enhance enforcement any more than not enforcing the old laws. All it's going to do, here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He who wields the stick wields the power.
Yeah.
So here's the danger. And the John Birch Society, now I grew up in an era when the John Birch Society was depicted as a bunch of old, bigoted, Southern white men who hated black people and women. I mean, I went through college that, thinking that's all John Birch. When they got up in the morning, all they thought about is how can we screw women and black people?
Mm. I always saw them as the most staunch anti-communists. And
I thought that was just a front, because I thought they just hated anybody. I mean, communists were thrown in there, but they, you know, the old pinko communists, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it's because I never understood.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood what it was really about.
Yeah, I mean, I just, in their writings, some of the books and things, it seemed like that was official, at least on paper. That's
right, but
they were about.
You took time to dig deep enough to try to figure out what the John Birch Society was. I just listened to the propaganda that I was given,
right,
which probably came from communists.
Well, let's face it. Organizations are made up of people, and people bring into that organizations all their own personal issues. And so you can't say it didn't exist, you know, a bigoted idea. But these were traditionalists. They didn't like change. And some people are racist, are tribalist, or whatever ist you can call it, because they just don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but yeah, the John Birch Society, who doesn't like it. Eddie, I think you made your strongest point when you said, if they aren't following the current Constitution, what assurance do we have that they're going to follow any other Constitution?
Exactly. And here's the thing that was a real giveaway. Back when Pat Campbell and I, when we did the Pat Campbell Show, and it first came up, and what was the real giveaway to me, or to us, even Pat mm-hmm. understood this was not a good deal,
mm-hmm.
Was the fact that George Soros supported a constitutional convention.
Mm-hmm.
And so, wait a minute, why would George Soros? Well, if you will go on to the George Soros Society, the John Birch Society website, don't take my word for it, they have videos, they have proof, they have different documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what they have done is show you why this is dangerous. And the question they ask is, once this gets going, is there a danger they could change the Second Amendment? And here's the real danger. They ask, could the Second Amendment be changed to where the right to own guns is given only to military and law enforcement? In other words,
mm-hmm.
taking your right to own mm-hmm. guns away, as it is in Europe and in basically communist nations.
Mm-hmm.
And first, they would not answer. That was the first thing these Constitution Convention people
mm-hmm.
would not answer. And then finally, they came back and said, yes, it is a possibility.
Yeah.
So at least they were honest. But the First, Second Amendment are in grave danger. Now, here's the other thing that made me think about this,
mm-hmm.
made me wonder, or actually made me start thinking about mm-hmm. this again,
mm-hmm.
why it's important. If you watch Newsmax, if you watch Fox News, they've been bombarded with these commercials stating we need to sign a petition for the
Convention of States?
Yeah, COS.
Yes.
They call it the COS, the Convention of States.
Right.
They want you to get your legislature to support the Convention of States. I think we need 39 states, as I understand. Is it correct?
Two-thirds, so 33, or maybe it's three-fourths. I don't know.
I think it's three-fourths.
Which would be 38.
Then. It's a 30. Okay, and they were up to 34. Now, some have dropped back out again. Yeah. So I'm making it my mission to get the word out to people that this is dangerous. Do not just sign these petitions. In fact, do your research and begin looking into this, because this is dangerous stuff. And the reason I think this is coming, here's why I think it's coming up again. They thought they could do it through Congress and through a Biden administration, signing off on repealing gun laws, doing, you know, changing it through congressional with new bills, new legislation, and so forth. You wouldn't even have to worry about it then. But because they were not able to do it legislatively, as we see because of, praise God, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, because they haven't been able to change the laws, now they're going back to trying to sneak it in through conservatives, get conservatives to do it to themselves.
Yeah,
so that's my opinion.
Okay, let me just, in rapid fire, just clear up some things. Okay.
I love this. When we argue about
that. Yeah. Convention of States is a way of bringing about a constitutional convention when it is initiated by the states away from Washington.
Correct.
When Washington, the Congress, calls for a constitutional convention, that's not a convention of states. So it's just two ways of triggering the same basic deal. So now let's go back in history. Our first convention was not the, our first, Constitution. It was not the Constitution we have now. It was generally called the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
We were basically a commonwealth. And they called for a convention of states, and the delegates got together and they said, no, no, no. We're not going to fix this or make it better. We're going to come up with a new one, because the commonwealth just isn't enough to protect our external borders. Particularly piracy became a big issue. And even in Jefferson's presidency, he had to fight the barbarian pirates. So
Barbary.
Barbary, yes. Wouldn't the people of Barbary be barbarians? Well, they are barbarians. Okay. I think that's where the term barbarian came from.
Barbarians at the gates, yeah.
Yes, literally barbarians. Okay, so... Now, getting to this, what happened at that convention of states? They eventually did rewrite. So you're concerned about, could they throw out the whole thing and start? Yes, and they did it once before. And that's why we have our current one, okay? And the big debate about it happened after they passed it. And then three-fourths of the states had to ratify the new convention, or it was all for nothing, the new constitution. And, it failed, and we had the big debates. That's how we got what we call the Federalist Papers. Federalists were those people who were in favor of the new Constitution. So they had to come up with a quick-ditch compromise, a pledge that if we'll approve this, then this list of 12 issues were going to be the first thing they were going to pass. They were called the Bill of Rights. Only 10 of them passed. Eventually, the 11th passed. But the 12th never did. But still, we accepted it. The Bill of Rights didn't come from the Constitutional Convention. It came from the people's revolt against it.
May I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get too off in the woods, weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a great history lesson, but I don't want to confuse the people. I just...
Okay.
Seriously. No, go to soonerpolitics.com and Dave will be happy to give you a lesson. Or .org.
Okay. But because, no, I'm moving forward to exactly
please,
this.
Please, quickly, because you know, eyes are starting to cross and glaze and people are... Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. Everything you're saying is true about what could happen. Anything could happen. But whatever comes out of it, a convention of states has to be ratified by three-fourths of the current states, or it's nothing. And the only other alternative would be a breakup of the union and a secession. And let's say the 28 states that did approve it, they would just start their own union. So, yeah, it's risky. Everything's risky.
Okay. I agree. No, no. Everything you've said is true, but I just smell a rat. Okay. I'm just saying I smell a rat. And to avoid any of the things, possibilities that you have just mentioned, the best way to do that is to just enforce, again, enforce the Constitution and the laws that we have.
Absolutely.
One of the big problems that we've run into is we've allowed certain states to ignore or bypass the First and Second Amendment.
Yeah.
And we're starting to allow the federal government to do the same. And another one that has been very much violated, I believe, and I believe a lot of people are on my side, is the 14th Amendment. Mm-hmm. They're throwing everything into the 14th Amendment. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let me see, how can we make this fly? Oh, yeah, we'll just throw in the 14th mm-hmm. Amendment. It'll apply because, you know, if one state accepts it, the other 49 have to accept it. I mean, pretty much that's how they've done it. You get one state that does it, then it's unfair because the other 49.
Yeah, and there's a clause in the Constitution that says the rights and privileges of the citizens of one state are also honored. But like if you're married in Georgia, then Idaho has to honor that marriage.
Right, right. Yeah. And of course, everything goes back to civil rights, right? Because black people were denied, I mean, mixed marriages were denied in certain states, mm-hmm. and that was wrong. So now all of a sudden, you know, gay marriage had to be accepted, or mm-hmm. because black people were denied to be able to buy things in a certain state or go into certain stores, we had to allow it in every.
Yeah.
So because one thing was wrong in one state, and that was wrong, now everything's wrong. You see what I'm saying? And so, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
As they always say.
And part of the problem is government getting involved in things they have no business in. Any libertarian will pretty much tell you there should be no marriage licenses. There should be marriage certificates.
I don't think the government should. I think we've had this discussion. Yeah. You know how I am. Mm-hmm. I believe you go to church, you're married before God and the families and the people, and you're married or you're not.
It should. The government has the same legitimate role in registering that marriage for right of property and protection in your death or whatever, as they do registering your home with the title or your car to protect your property.
Right. You go down and say, this is Sally and I'm Annie, and I want to, you know, we want my kid, these are my children, wills, trust, et cetera, and you register.
Right. But when your kids are born, they don't need a license to be born. We merely, after the fact, certify it.
That these are my children.
It's called a birth certificate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there is a legitimate role in that. And I think really what we're up against is, the problem is mankind has just so devolved in our society. You know, and I do believe God intervenes in the affairs of man. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think certain things happen, like nobody expected Donald Trump to get to replace 3 Supreme Court justices in one term with all the other turmoil going on. Yeah. But I think that was God's divine intervention, and that's all the further I'm going on that.
Okay? And he ain't finished yet.
Yeah. But I think we agree. Now, I will say this.
Wait a minute. I thought you were finished.
The convention.
That's all I'm going to say.
Convention of states is a legitimate tool that in the right place can serve an important purpose. You and I just tend to agree this is a little risky right now.
Exactly. Thank you for at least saying that. That's right. In the atmosphere, in the state that America is in currently, it's probably not a good time to be doing this.
And even if it did work, our problems wouldn't be over because we'd still have to obey it.
Oh, enforcement.
Enforce it.
Exactly, exactly. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this. All right. We are back with you. Well, we got our juices flowing in that first segment there.
I just got reprimanded for pounding the table. Yeah, and I just quote what a good attorney once said, if the facts aren't on your side, pound the law. If the law's not on your side, pound the facts. If neither of them are, pound the table even harder. And I was pounding the table. So that weakened my argument, didn't it?
It did. You pounded the table. Hey, did we discuss GoFundMe? We got so excited.
We haven't yet. I'm ready. Right,
let's talk about it.
They can go fund themselves.
They go fund themselves, and I'm ready to get a T-shirt that says defund them. Mm-hmm. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. And why do people even still use GoFundMe?
Ignorance.
You know, what, a year or so ago, yeah, too, when they were deplatforming people, mm-hmm, and everything, and they wouldn't take certain things.
Right.
I mean, you know who these people are. You, yeah, know who they are. Why would we give our money through them, making them rich and making them powerful?
Eddie, advertising works.
Well, there are other platforms.
Well, there are, but those other platforms aren't advertising like GoFundMe.
That's true. Do not, whatever you do, do not give to and through Go. Do not, if you've got a cause, do not raise it through GoFundMe. We need to just bankrupt them. Put them out of business. Mm-hmm. We'll show them. I mean, seriously, that's how we have to start playing the game.
Yep.
One thing, Sean Hannity, my wife, look, he's a good guy. Okay, don't get me wrong. He's a good guy. But we don't watch him anymore. And one of the things that really ticks me off about him, he always says, well, I do not believe that you should boycott anyone. We don't boycott anyone. Well, great, Sean, but they're going to boycott you. And as long until we play the game, not only like they do, better than. You got to beat them at it.
Yeah, the 9/11 Commission said, they were at war with us, but we were not at war with them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, listen, you know, I'll tell you this story. And, you know, I hope you guys don't think I tell too many stories about my own experiences or my family's. And I may have told this story before. I don't know. But I only tell these when they really apply, okay? When we first went to become missionaries, we moved to Holland. Holland is a very passive nation, as you know. They were one of the first ones that were overrun by the Nazis, okay? Mm-hmm. One of the nations, the first ones also that we liberated when we went over. In fact, Normandy is in northern France, and where we did, we actually went into Holland, and that's where, if you ever get a chance, great movie, The Bridge, A Bridge Too Far is a great, great film about World War II. It's, yeah, in a place called Arnhem, mm-hmm, or Arnheim as the Germans call it, but Arnhem is where, and it's a bridge over the Rhine River between Holland and Germany. And, mm-hmm, it started out, well, I'm not going to tell you, go see the movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Dutch people have always been this passive people. Mm-hmm. So my daughter was, I think, 3, yeah, and my son was 2. Mm-hmm. And so we lived on this little farm, missionaries, a bunch of us lived out there, and we all lived in this community. We lived in like a one-room shack, but it was connected, a bunch of us together. And so my wife and the next-door lady, they were sitting on the porch, and I happened to walk outside, and I look out, and the kids were playing. And my daughter was over here, and my son was over there. And so my son was on this little toy thing riding, and this little girl, who was a little older than my son, decided she wants it. So she started, and she was kind of a brat, and so she starts pulling on this thing, trying to take it from my son, and she was just pushing him and hitting. And so I told my daughter, Talitha, look. And so she sees what's going on. So she runs over and just stands there, mm-hmm, between my son and this little girl. Mm-hmm. And she just stood like a little statue. Mm-hmm. And so the little girl, who is my daughter's age, a year and a half or so older, so she tells my daughter, get out of the way. And my daughter just didn't move. So the girl grabs my daughter. She's trying to move her. And she's screaming at her. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my daughter comes up and just smacks the girl across the face. And the girl had never, ever been, you know, deterred. I mean, nobody had ever, you know, decided to take any type of action against any of her behavior. And she couldn't believe it. I mean, you should have seen her. And so she turns around, she screams, and she runs to her mother, who was sitting by my wife. And so she goes running to, and my wife was sitting there like, oh, what's going to happen now? Mm-hmm. And the mother looked at my wife, and she just kind of winked and smiled. Mm-hmm. And she told my wife later, thank you so much for, you know, because she had, well, anyway, one of the leaders of the community, who lived in another house, she happened to see it. And she tells my wife, oh, it was a shame what your daughter did to Renska. That was the little Dutch girl's name. I was like, seriously, what? She said, oh, we need to just love Renska. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was her answer. Just love Renska and let her keep on bullying all the children.
That kind
and
of parenting,
but,
yes.
But it changed Renska's life. Renska, by the way, grew up, and she is now a missionary in Africa.
Mm-hmm. And she's not a bully anymore.
She never was a bully after that moment.
That's right.
You know, she became a sweet little girl. So I just say that to, sometimes you have to do things that shake reality into a person.
Yes.
In other words, you cannot just have your way in this world.
Yeah.
At some point, someone has to say stop.
I got to say, Jesus made a statement one time, was rather profound. He said, the world is suffering much violent, and he says, and the violent take it by force. It's a law of nature that the world is ruled by conquest. And as much as you might want to just, you know, everybody's going to be passive and a pacifist and non-aggression, you know what? That's not real world. And that's one of the greatest statements, I think, Dinesh D'Souza said in his movies about Obama being an anti-colonialist. And it's like, you know what? The world's always been ruled by conquest, even tribes amongst themselves. They can claim victim now, but at one time, the tables were turned.
They were the worst.
They were the bully.
They were the worst.
Yeah, and you just got to face that. You got to respect others because they got a gun, right?
I've talked about Shaka Zulu, that whole, the conquest of the Zulu, where he started in Central, the Bantu were actually in Central Africa up north, and he just slaughtered hundreds of thousands of other Africans, and yet black people, he's their hero.
Yeah.
Shaka. They named their children Shaka. Yeah. And of course, nobody wants to remember what Shaka really did, killing hundreds of thousands of black people to become Shaka, or we wouldn't know who he was.
Yeah. It's true. You know, growing up in Minnesota, we learned about, you know, the Indian tribes that were there. The Cherokee pretty much controlled most of Minnesota when the white settlers and the French, you know, came in. Before that, it was Dakota Indians. Now, when they left, and this is according to some of my sources, the word Sioux Indian, that's actually a French word. Mm-hmm. And it was a translation of the Chippewa word for dog. And so that's why the Dakota tribes don't like to go by the term Sioux, even though the government refers to the Sioux tribes. Because we're not dogs. That was a French word that was given to the French traders by the Chippewas who ran us out of northern and northeastern Minnesota. So conquest was happening all the time.
There's a tribe here, I don't even remember the name. I met a girl and she's one of these tribes, not one of the five civilized tribes. She's from one of those uncivilized tribes. Sweet girl. We had a great talk. You know, I actually have learned a lot about the Indian culture, and I love the Indian culture. And but it was not that nice of a culture like that's depicted in the the movies and stuff. It used to be. But now we've depicted as this, oh, they were these wonderful, nice people. You know, they were brutal. They were very brutal people. And to each other and everything. Tribalism has been around since Cain and Abel. It's been around, and we people want to, for their own purposes, their own uses, want to romanticize and fantasize about whoever they want to use it for their own gain. That's what it's really about. Use it for their own gain.
Hitler did it with Austria, the Rhineland. I said, well, those are ethnic Germans there, so I have a right to move
in. And they've been abused. We're going to free them and liberate them.
And what is Putin saying? Putin's saying the same thing.
With the Ukrainians.
Crazy, but those are a bunch of Russians, and they deserve to live under Russian rule.
The Albanian Yugoslavs.
Yeah.
Yeah, which became Kosovo. The Kosovars were basically Albanians, so this belongs to us, so whatever they do, they deserve to have that given back. Yeah, and we fall for it every time, time.
Chad Smith, the former chief of the Cherokee. Yeah, he and I were talking one day, it was about 6 years ago, and I was really incensed by them kicking the freedmen out of the tribe. And he was just like, and he's, look, I'm a Republican just like you. That you don't understand. He says, I go to Africa and they understand this. It's about tribe. It's about your ethnic heritage. And they live that way. And yet we're taught, well, we're a melting pot. We're homogenized. And so now you have a collision of worldviews, don't you?
See, I have no problem, honestly. I have no problem with them kicking the freedmen off the rolls.
Oh, yeah, as long as we as U.S. government then say, you know what? Our treaties with the Cherokees don't matter either.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get all of the money from the casinos now. That's no longer valid either. No, exactly. Yeah. See, but I bet you Chad doesn't agree with that. I bet you Chad wants to keep those treaties in force that he signed, or he didn't sign it, but his people.
Yeah.
But see, I honestly respect, it's weird. Those five civilized tribes that came over, of which Greenwood, LaFleur, people were some slave owners. They were slave owners. Okay. These are slave owners that have now been glorified.
Yeah. Civilized.
Civilized. They were the civilized ones. Yet you have the Lakota. Mm-hmm. Crazy Horse and his people, the Sioux, the Lakota, which Lakota actually are a tribe of within the Sioux.
Dakota tribe.
So the Lakota, who are considered uncivilized.
Right.
I have more respect for the uncivilized Indian, Native American, than I do the civilized ones.
Right.
But it's funny, the ones that we're always hearing about and whining about or crying about and hearing, and listen, I don't hate you, but I'm tired of hearing about it. I don't feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for the ones who were put on reservations, the ones who are still suffering, the Mescalero Apaches, okay? You go out there, the Mescalero and Navajo that are living on terrible reservations in New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, and Colorado, and all of those places. You know, when most of the Cherokee in Oklahoma are living large. Now, again, I don't hate you. I'm glad you're doing well. But I don't want to hear about how horrible your ancestors were any more than I want to hear about poor black slaves 300 years ago. When you got multimillionaire black folks, football players, basketball players, entertainers, politicians running our government. I don't need to hear about and whining anymore. You guys, if you're not doing well, that's your fault. Don't be blaming any white man. But these other Native Americans out here that I see when I drive to El Paso, Texas, through Mescalero Apache country, when I drive up northwest, that's a shame. Yeah. When I see Eskimos that are living poorly and so forth, that somebody hasn't taken the time and effort to tell these people that you don't need to be living like this anymore. Where you got oil, you've got casinos, you've got minerals, you got lumber, come on.
If you like this, you got to read Eddie's book. I'm here looking for a copy. Y'all are sitting because this is the essence of Eddie's message. Yeah, the books have arrived, folks. Go to freshblack.coffee, get yourself a copy. Eddie will sign it for you. We'll get it in your hands, and we'll just call that the book club segment of the show because that's the essence. Okay. So I want to get back to what you said. You were talking about missions because we were talking,
you know, about GoFundMe. Actually, yeah, I think I started
I'm
out on
telling
a
you.
Quit giving money to GoFundMe. Find other vehicles.
Here's
to give
what
money.
It is: a missions funding project that was put up on the web years ago called Give, Send, Go. Okay, it's about giving to missionaries, sending those missionaries, or go yourself. Right. Christian, or, and it says right on here, is, you know, I'm at givesendgo.com. They've got their three trending most popular campaigns. Number three, that was just put up there in the last, what, day and a half? It's called Adopt a Trucker. Yes, they've already raised just about $250,000. If you can't go up to Ottawa, if you can't go to DC yourself, if you don't have a rig, help fund another gallon of diesel or a tank of diesel or whatever you got, or a hotel room to keep a trucker on the road making the statement for us.
Take the money from GoFundMe.com. I'm saying we need lawsuits. Somebody needs to sue the butts off of GoFundMe.
Yeah.
You know, take that money. Get that $10 million back. In fact, somebody needs a class action lawsuit, and we need punitive damages for if they're not going to give the money back. We need to threaten or I don't know the legal ramification, but it sounds to me like there should be some punitive damages if they were to even try to give that money to another organization.
Right now, John O'Connor, Oklahoma Attorney General, I urge you, file in federal court for an injunction right now against GoFundMe.com to have that money released. And this is the reason why we need to do an injunction, because it will create a harm if it's not done immediately. They're trying to kill the protest, kill the momentum.
Yeah, I don't care if they say we're not going to let you do it and give the money back to everybody.
Yeah, but they're hanging on to it.
That's their, but to give it to somebody else, like Black Lives Matter or Save the Seals or even something like that. No, this was money specifically given for one reason, and you're going to give it to somebody else for some other reason? Yeah. Not on my watch.
Yeah. No, I'm saying as far as GoFundMe as a United States entity, we can do it in U.S. courts.
Right.
The same thing needs to happen in Canadian courts.
Right, sure.
And every place else.
Well, you know the bulk of the money came from here.
Yeah. And I want to say, if you're an Oklahoman and you've given even a dime to this Ottawa Truckers campaign through GoFundMe, you now are a legitimate plaintiff to file suit in federal court.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? If you're an attorney and you want to be part of a pro bono effort for this, please get involved. Get involved. Get in contact with somebody who's even given a dollar.
Forget pro bono.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to get paid. This is a tort suit.
Go after punitive damages.
Right.
And you take your money from those punitive damages.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
They need to be taught a lesson. They need to be spanked.
Yeah. I just want all the money to go to the truckers for whom it was intended.
Yeah. No. I understand you do. But, I mean, you know, the lawyers got to get paid, too.
They
do. A workman is worthy of his hire.
But if they decide they want that to be their part of this protest.
Right, and it's going
to
cost. I mean, there are going to be some cost. They're going to fight. They're not going to do this for nothing. So, I mean,
you get the best justice in our courts that you can afford.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And make sure they don't, try to, file it in
it's got to be federal court.
Yeah, but find a federal court that's not in D.C.
Right.
That's the only thing you got there. Yeah.
Hello, A.G. O'Connor. Seriously.
No, I agree. I agree totally. Hey, listen, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll do one more segment, okay? Anyway, this is a show that's good. When we get back, I want to discuss Ukraine a little bit, and then I want to discuss Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Old.
I'd love to get into Mike Pence if we could.
Oh, yeah. Mike Pence. Mike Pence. Thank you. Okay, we're going to get back a little earlier today. Chomping at the bits here. Okay, hey, Dave. Yeah, you told me you wanted to get back and get to the whole issue of Mike Pence.
Yeah.
And it is a worthy issue. I've been following it a little bit and dealing with it on Facebook. So basically what's going on, Mike Pence has been caught. Where was he speaking?
He went to the Federalist Society.
The Federalist Society, and he made the claim that he did not have the authority to be able to overturn the election. Basically, that's what's being reported, that he didn't have. So go ahead and give us the full scoop of what he said.
Well, that's his twist. What he was asked to do was to seek further clarification from the electors in a number of states. But he's bearing false witness against President Trump by saying that Trump's asking him to overturn the election. Right. He's not being asked to do anything except get clarification where there's clearly a need for verification.
Right. And wasn't he, as my understanding was, what he was wanting to do or supposed to do was go through the whole process, asking the various representatives from every state to give their reasons and objections to the way the elections
which
would bring into question the electors from these various states.
And the process would have initiated within those states for the legislature to come together in special session.
Exactly.
And because what did we learn in Bush v. Gore from the Supreme Court? It says the Constitution gives directly to the legislatures of each state the right to set the rules for an election. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in Pennsylvania, where the legislature was bypassed,
right,
and judges and agencies whole cloth made up new rules, including it's not over on Tuesday. You can vote up until Friday.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
And just a week ago,
mm-hmm,
a week or a week and a half ago, the courts have held that what they did was unconstitutional.
Right. Yeah.
So they're supposed to throw all of those things out now.
Yeah.
Which is going to be help. But what can they do? There's nothing they can do now.
Right.
And that's just the first of them. We haven't even gotten to Wisconsin,
yep,
Michigan, and other states.
Yeah. But my real problem here is with what I thought was the integrity of Mike Pence.
No, I agree. I agree. Totally.
He is bearing false witness repeatedly. I think he's a coward. I think he was a coward on January 6th. I think he's still a coward, and now he's a lying coward.
Well, I think he's finally revealed his true self. I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with. It's sad because he had earned so much respect.
Yeah.
And not only on January 6th, I'm sorry, January 6th of 2020,
mm-hmm,
or 2021, yeah, when this whole thing started. Because he did not go through with what he could have gone through with and what he was tasked with, actually.
Now, I want to say, this is the problem with career politicians, is if they do one thing, it's this. They always play it safe. They have no courage.
Yeah.
And in a time of crisis, you don't need somebody who plays it safe. You need somebody with the conviction and fortitude who isn't worried about their political career and for their ambitions. We're living in the now. You know, what did Pat Robertson say in 88 when he was running for president? He said, the difference between a statesman and a politician. A statesman, a politician, it cares about the next election. A statesman cares about the next generation.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really frustrated.
What's sad to me, and I don't get it, because how would he think? Why does Mike Pence think that this would help him? Because as far as I understand, and I'm pretty sure it's legit, that he plans to run for president now.
Yeah, probably.
There's no chance. He doesn't have a chance on earth of getting the nomination.
I actually hope he runs. It'll help us identify who the Never Trumpers are.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just shocked. I mean, he will be relegated to the dustbins of Republican politics, along with Mitt Romney, Alan Kinzinger, Adam Kinzinger, and of course, what's her name, whose name shall not be spoken.
I do want to say, I listened to Alan Dershowitz this morning, and he made a lot of sense. He said, the Constitution's not very clear. It needs to be clarified better what happens on a January 6th. But it should be up to Congress as a whole to make a decision which reports to accept and decline. And what was asserted was that somehow the vice president, serving as president of the Senate, has the discretion as to what he presents to Congress, to the joint session of Congress. I think that is a legitimate point.
No, I agree. That's what's funny to me, where he says that he did not have the power to overturn.
Yeah.
There are people on the other side that think he did have the power to overturn. You know, because I know them. I mean, I know these people. You probably know them, too. Mm-hmm. You've had people tell you. I've got people that I run into every week still that believe, oh, Pence should have overturned the deal. No, he couldn't. But what he could have done, and this is honestly what he should have done, he could have done it enough because if he had gone through the full procedure, mm-hmm. it would have taken him 2 weeks to go through, you know, the roll call from every state and everything. It would have taken 2 weeks, and they would have been able to give testimony, and each delegate gives testimony, and in that 2 weeks, they could have come up with more evidence and so, and at least it would have given more credence one way or another to what happened. Now, I want to ask you one question. You had mentioned the 2016 election and what the Democrats did there.
Yeah, they challenged Alabama and I think two other states.
Which representatives made the challenge?
Oh, it was Democrats.
But do you remember which ones, who it was?
I don't recall.
Okay, unfortunately, because that would be good to show the hypocrisy.
They were the usual suspects. But, you know, ultimately, the majority vote in Congress was no, we're going to accept it. The only time they haven't been accepted is in 1870, but it didn't change the outcome election.
Right.
And there was legitimate question. I think if they would have followed this, Ted Cruz already had a team, Senator Cruz, and they had a process they were going to go through. Okay. And what I'm saying here is if we had followed that process, it would have triggered, for instance, the Arizona legislature to go back into session, at which point they could have sealed and subpoenaed all the election documents before Maricopa County mm-hmm. destroyed all the evidence. Because they did destroy the evidence. Yeah. I think it's important. The thing I don't like about what Pence did, I think he could have made an argument much like Dershowitz made.
Yeah.
But he's going beyond that. To bear false witness.
He's politicking.
He's trying to destroy Trump.
No. Right, but it's politicking.
Yeah.
That's the only reason there is.
And he's a coward at it.
That's exactly right. And it's sad. I mean, it's sad. He is going to lose the respect and dignity he might have had.
Lost mine.
He was very, very well liked. He was very respected. It's gone.
You know, and this, Eddie, this is the thing. We take a risk when we elect somebody president or governor who's never had public office, been in place of in charge of a public trust. Okay. You get that. There's risk. But you also have risk when you elect a career politician that they're going to put their further career ahead of making the tough calls.
Yeah. Here's what's interesting. And you guys, you really need to understand this, okay? You have two people here who do not think Donald Trump is the most moral person on earth.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Dave probably thinks he's one of the more immoral people on earth.
I wouldn't trust my wife around him. But I wouldn't trust my wife around King David either. He was immoral in that way, manner too.
Yeah. I think I would liken him more to Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay,
that would be Donald Trump from the beginning. I've always compared him to Nebuchadnezzar. I've never tried to do a King David. I mean, that's a stretch. That's a real stretch. But Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Cyrus, yeah, those are a little more Donald Trump. Yeah, okay,
but let me say about King David. Did Donald Trump ever have a man killed so he could grab his wife?
I don't know.
Because David did.
Yeah, he did. You did. Yeah, you're right. That's true. Donald may have thought of it. No. Oh, we're way out there now. Yeah, no. But no, what we're trying to say is we are not trying to say Donald Trump is worthy of man of the year, that's that right, he's a most moral person. You've got to understand, we have got to get to the point where we divorce this. For example, I think a great person for vice president or public office is Tulsi Gabbard, okay? Mm-hmm. Tulsi Gabbard, I don't know what her sexual orientation, I don't know if she's a lesbian, if she's straight, if what she is, but I like her, okay? I think she loves the United States. I know she's a Buddhist. Yeah. It doesn't frighten me. She's not going to make me a Buddhist, okay?
She's her own person.
She is her own person.
Yeah.
All right? I'm not afraid. I'm not. I wouldn't be afraid of, I've got a good friend who I want to interview. His name's Kareem Abdul Haq. Mm. Okay, Haq. Mm-hmm. He's an economist. Wonderful, very conservative. He's probably more conservative than both of us. Okay, so don't get pushed into a corner, and he's black also, you know. So he's got two strikes against him, just to the normal person. Mm-hmm. But we've got to get off this stuff.
Yeah.
We've got to start judging the people by who they are. Get to know them, find out who they are. There's people with great Christian names. You may call them pastor, reverend, whatever. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust them, you know, to walk a blind person across the street. But seriously, we've got to stop this. So when we defend Donald Trump, we're trying to defend the honor of the United States of America in the things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the government supposed to do for us? Two things. Defend us. Defend us? Well, actually, one thing. three things. Defend us, defend us, and defend us. Yeah, but no, seriously. That's all they're supposed to do. Public safety and secure our borders.
Yeah.
The Biden administration is doing neither one of them. Our borders are less secure than they've ever been in the history of this nation. And secondly, our cities are less secure. Our homes, our public safety is in shambles. Those are the two things that government is really supposed to do. That's it. That's all. That's all they're supposed to do. And they're not doing those. Instead, what they're doing social engineering.
Yep.
They're worried about what gender is serving in the military. They're worried about what color the next Supreme Court justice is. They're worried about Ukraine. They're worried about Abu Dhabi. Oh, Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi, no, whatever. Come on. Kareem, we've got to get back to the basics, people. Back to the basics.
So what was that, Kareem Abdul Haq? Or I guess as Wayne and Garth would say, Haqalooey.
I'm afraid he's going to listen to this and he's making fun of his name. No, he's a brilliant economist. He's written a couple, and he's got a book. I think I may have showed it before. I think I have one in the office. Mm-hmm. It's the 13th Amendment week, which he says Black America should be, and America in general should be observing the 13th Amendment with celebration.
Yeah.
Not Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Not Juneteenth. And he explains why the 13th Amendment is the most pivotal event in American history and what all went into it. I mean, it's amazing. I quote several things from it in my book. But anyway, I'm not going to beat this dead horse, but just suffice it to say, our country is in problems. The, you know, Ukrainian situation, sending these troops, as I like to call it, he's wagging the chihuahua to get his attention off. Also, the stock market this week, I'm just going to throw this, it's going to just take 30 seconds. Thursday, we hear that the we lost like 100 and some thousand jobs or 300 and something. It was a big, big thing. Friday, I'll say, oh, we revised it. We actually gained 400 and some thousand. Yeah. Well, something's not right here. Something smells really bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Somebody's lying.
Yeah.
Somebody's lying. Either they faked us here to make them look that much better here, either that, or they're lying here to, you know, to we didn't really create that many jobs. Something's going wacky.
Now there's your wag the dog right there. Get the attention on, look at all these jobs we're creating, instead of, oh my God, we're going to go into a war, a shooting war with Russia.
Yeah, I still don't believe we're going into a war. I think that's a head fake.
That may be the wag the dog right there.
I think it is. I think that's the wag the dog, but I think I just think they're lying about the
numbers. Oh, yeah, because really horrible news is coming out, especially on the COVID front. Yeah. Johns Hopkins is saying, God, all those stupid ideas, we just found out how stupid they are.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Yeah, they're very stupid. I mean, you know, we didn't need the lockdowns. We're going to find out. Oh, come on. We don't even need John Hopkins to tell us the masks are stupid. Yeah. And any person that thought masks helped was an idiot. I mean, I'm just going to say you're an idiot. I debated with some of you on Facebook. I'm going to say you were an idiot if you ever bought it. And they're still doing it. I mean, there's still people wearing masks and worried about masks, you know, and I'm thinking, are you serious? Why?
Well, the mask is as good as covering your mouth when you sneeze. It's a muffler, right? But it's a muffler only when you cough or sneeze, basically.
Not really, because the germs have to go all the way through my arm if I cover it this way. That mask, there's nothing. You've seen the YouTube videos, haven't you, where the stuff is still coming out?
Well, I understand, but is it flying out 8 feet or flying out 20 feet?
And, well, here it's not flying out 8 feet. It's going straight down.
But even then, that's in a very unique circumstance. I mean, Eddie, you and I are sitting in this room for a couple of hours. No mask is going to make any difference.
You're right. You're right.
You know, it'll be circulating.
Right.
And so, yes, there are scenarios where a mask can have some effect so that you're not projecting. What's funny to me,
you go into a bank, right, and you got these bank tellers sitting back there, and you got like three of them.
Yeah.
They got a shield.
Yeah.
Okay. All the shield is doing is causing it to bounce over to each other.
Yeah, I know.
And it's keeping the people here.
I know. From,
you know, and then they got that little opening there, and it's probably going shooting down under and out. I mean, it's insane.
On your typical central heat and air, you're working an 8-hour shift. It doesn't matter what mask you're wearing.
Right. And the only thing, you know, my son, Eli, who... Mm-hmm. builds restaurants and things. He has these friends that they've developed this. It's a, you know, UV kills virus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He has these friends that have this UV system that goes into your ducts. Mm-hmm. And as it passes through the UV filters. Mm-hmm. And they do this. If you're building a place, they install these UV filters, and that way it cleans your air as the recycling when the air circulates in. So there's different things you can do, but I think it's finally settling down. John Hopkins is coming out with there, and there's going to be more research. But what's so weird is in the midst of that, you've got certain people, like in Canada, Trudeau, who ought to be True Ain't, he's doubling down, and our friend, Gavin Newsom out there in California, now they're talking about, and of course, Fauci and the president want to inoculate kids under 5.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty soon the Canadian border is going to be like the old East German fence border was with people. You know, they're going to be shooting people fleeing Canada.
Yeah.
You know, it's that bad. And eventually the fence in Mexico is going to be for Americans trying. We're going to be thanking Biden that we didn't put up the fence, to so we can escape to Mexico.
Yeah. I mean,
it's sad. Yeah. Hey, we better move on. We better move on. Ukrainian thing, I covered it a little bit. The one thing I do want to say about the Ukrainian thing, the wag the chihuahua, I think what I see here is a couple of things. It's to get our attention off the domestic problems he's having, he and Putin. See, one of the things that gets me way back to the debates, in 2000 is when Donald Trump tried to ask, but Chris Wallace didn't allow him to get into it, about the $8 million mm-hmm. to the mayor of Moscow. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. Why did they pay the mayor of Moscow $8 million?
I had heard that the wife of the mayor of Moscow paid Hillary $3.5 million.
Well, yeah, but why did she pay Biden $8
million? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He didn't pay the mayor. The mayor paid Biden $8 million. Yeah. She paid, Roscoe Biden. It's not Roscoe.
Yeah, well, I've learned whatever the Democrats are accusing Republicans of, that's exactly what the Democrats are doing.
That's weird, isn't it, that they accuse Trump of collusion and all of a sudden he gets Hunter. Hunter gets $8 million from the mayor of Moscow.
It's a way of them telegraphing now to us what they're doing.
If you go back, go to YouTube, you'll see he kept repeating, what happened to the $8 million? What did you get the $8 million for, mayor of Moscow? What did you get? And Chris Wallace tried everything to keep him from, you know. By the way, have you noticed you hear nothing about Chris Wallace? He moved over to, I don't even know what network he went to.
Chris who?
Yeah, that's good. But anyway, but also, it also reminds me of the Eisenhower speech on the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. You know, we spent $200 million in lethal aid, whatever that is. They didn't say what it is, what we sent over there, but whatever it is, it's $200 million that some armament company got for sending, and now we got to make $200 million more, and it's probably not going to stop. This is just the beginning. It reminds me of when we first sent advisors to Vietnam.
Yeah,
and we're sending troops. We are sending troops. There's 8,000 people now to Eastern Europe. We don't know where near Lithuania, Georgia or Poland or somewhere. I don't know where we're sending them. Yeah, I don't know, but it could get bad. Hey.
I've got a real quick one because I just feel like I owe it to Mike Pence. You know, no human being is all bad nor all good, right? Yeah. You know, Mike Pence has his virtues, and one of them was exposed on Babylon Bee, where the headline says, to ensure no more sex scandals, CNN replaces all their anchors with Mike Pence. Because he's known as a man who goes to great lengths to avoid sex scandals. His wife is with him all the time. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way
it is. You know what? And I'm like, good. Okay. Salute you, Mike, on that.
You had to throw a Babylon Bee in there.
It fit. Because I felt like I owe it to Mike to say something good. I'm just, that's my thing. If I'm going to trash somebody, I got to acknowledge something good about them.
That's good. Okay, we're ready. I've got a song. I'm going to finish today with talking about Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Old.
Oh.
The old group was Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Yeah. But it is funny, though, isn't it, that all these, they're officially now called old rockers.
Yeah.
Right? They're all old rockers. I mean, but you got Joni Mitchell, who, if you've seen a picture of her. In fact, there's a caricature. Have you ever seen this caricature? It's a drawing of her.
In other words, would you vote for that face?
Have you ever seen, there's a caricature of her. Man, it is like rode hard and put away wet. She has not aged well. I mean, honestly, I hate to even say it, but truly she has not aged well. But you know, Joni Mitchell has come, she sided with, I don't know who, but it's a bunch of these old has-beens. I think part of what they're trying to do is get attention, get people to buy their music, look at their music.
Oh, yeah.
But most people, the younger, anybody under 40 has never even heard of Crosby. Yeah, still. If you went on the street, Crosby still, who
was it said? There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah.
I mean, when your career is built on publicity, you take it however you can get it.
For those who may not have heard about this, how this all, it was Joe Rogan. In fact, we talked about it last week. Joe Rogan, who has over 10 million viewers on,
for each episode.
Each episode on Spotify, or listeners on Spotify, and viewers as well. He basically mentioned he uses ivermectin and different remedies for his COVID, and he became well and so forth. So there's an all out attack on Joe Rogan now, which is tough because Joe Rogan is super popular.
Oh,
and they're afraid, you know, he might actually, he's the runaway slave now.
Yeah,
he's a runaway slave. And one of the really audacious things is we have the press secretary for the Biden administration, Jen Psaki.
The ginger.
Psaki.
Yes.
And I say that with respect, Psaki. Anyway, she came out and said basically that he should be, they've not come out strong. She wants him banned.
Yeah.
Now, Ms. Psaki, you may not have heard of a thing called the First Amendment.
Yeah.
But let me remind you, it is a thing called freedom of speech. This shows how the so-called Democrats, I call them Democrats, but the so-called Democrats, how they really are not any, there's nothing democratic about them.
They're un-American.
They're un-American. They truly are communists.
Yeah. Yeah,
they truly are. I mean, they want to squelch any type of free thinking, free speech, anything free. There's nothing free. They want it their way.
Yeah,
they're a bunch of spoiled brat kids, and God will deal with you. I mean, if we don't, God will. So I'm not ultimately worried about this.
And this is not exclusive to the Democrat Party. When I was a county Republican Party official just a couple years ago, it was demanded of me by people you and I both know that I had to deplatform one of the bloggers on Sooner Politics. And I said, no.
A Republican.
Yes.
Conservative blogger, yeah.
And I just said, no. Yeah. The answer's more free speech. You don't like what he says, then you know, speak up. I'll run your blog.
That's why I say so often, so many people have gone so far right that they're now left.
Yes.
They've come all the way.
Yeah. And, you know,
which is sad. That's true.
Right. So if you think the answer is less free speech, you're un-American.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. But anyway, so what's happened, they are so mad at Joe Rogan because he has a following. They don't care about Eddie Huff and Dave Van Rizzingham. You know, nobody listens to our podcast. And those few who do, you know, they don't care about it. But when you have 12 million people that listen to each episode, you are a threat. Mm-hmm. You're a threat to them. And not only that, it's the demographic. It's 40 and under. Okay, it's 40 and under. So because of that, they want him deplatformed because they don't want... It might spread. It might spread like COVID.
They're afraid of him.
Yeah, they're afraid. And and I believe it will spread. And the more they try to clamp down, this is why, oh, by the way, I actually did. I went back. I wrote an article. And this one, I wrote it earlier, but it's on New Black Thought.
Great.
In 2010. So if you'll post that link.
Absolutely.
It's from...
New Black Thought is a blog on Blogspot that Eddie's had for a good 10 years.
Yeah. And I guess I must have redone it. I did it again in 2018, but I did it way back in the 90s, actually, is when I really did this. Anyway, it's called The New Establishment and the New Uncle Tom is what it's called. But it actually talks about the new establishment versus the old establishment. And I may have talked about it, I think, last week or so, but it talks about how the old establishment was over 50. It was white men. Okay. The new establishment is under 50. It's mixed and it's a lot of women in it. Okay.
Karens.
So it's not,
a lot of Karens.
Probably. No Karens. No. Oh. It's Keishas.
Oh, okay.
And Tamikas. And
what are you picturing in your minds right now?
And AOCs or whatever. I don't even know her real name now. Ocasio.
You just upset you can't date her. That's why.
Oh yeah. I'm one of those guys lining up, just pining over the fact that I can't date her. Oh my goodness. I think I would chew my arm off. You know, if they say if I was chained to her, I would chew my arm off. But anyway. Oh man, I've lost my train. You got me now. I was on a roll and you got me.
Think about that while you're doing it. Winston Churchill had the best comeback when Lady Ashley said in Parliament, she says, if I was married to that man, I would give him strychnine. And he said, if I was married to that woman, I would drink the strychnine.
Hey, guess what?
Yeah.
I think our segment is going to end here.
We got that one going.
Okay, so you can, okay. And we've still got a little way to go. But anyway, we're talking about Crosby, Stills, Nash, and old. But anyway, Neil Young, who said he was going to leave Spotify if they didn't get rid of, Joe Rogan, and Spotify said, no, thank you, which puts them above GoFundMe, at least. But anyway, so here's the deal. We have got to get to the point where we need more people who are willing to stand up against the tyranny of people like Jen Psaki and people like GoFundMe and things like that. So I do want to point out that Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young, they're no longer the radical. They are hypocrites now because everything they said they stood for, they no longer stand for.
Absolutely.
They were the radicals. Now they are part of the establishment. Mm-hmm. And once they're, and see what everything they fought for, they are now clinging to and fighting for because they wanted to create a world that they wanted of their choosing, their making. Mm-hmm. And that world, by the way, is not a nice world, as we're seeing. Their world is turning into hell. It literally is. It's Dante's Inferno. We're in one of those levels. I don't know which one we're in, but but it's not a nice one. And so we've got to take it back. We've got to get rid of these old fogies. These are the old fogies now, okay?
There are a lot of people who fight tyranny, but some of them are just jealous that they aren't the tyrant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, It's time. And we've got to teach our young people. If you have young people, teach them. It's funny. Crosby, Stills, Nash. Teach your children. Yes. Yeah. Teach your children. Teach them while they're young.
Yes.
Anyway, but it's funny how this works. But anyway, I'm going to close the show out today with a Neil old song, an old Neil Young song. Yeah. And this is called Old Man.
Okay.
You need to listen to this because it's almost prophetic. Okay. This is, and I've got the lyrics. I'm going to read these lyrics, and I want you to listen to these. And then Dave's going to, on our video podcast, he's going to put the link. And actually, I'll put it on the Blogspot one, too, okay?
On Podbean.
I mean, Podbean, yeah.
Yep.
Podbean, which will lead you to Blogspot.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll have the lyrics. I mean, this will have the old established, what is it? New establishment and the new Uncle Tom. Yeah, that's all right. What it is. Okay. But anyway, I'm going to read these lyrics for you. And then this is what it says. Old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. I'm a lot like you were. 24, and there's so much more that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost. Like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you. Old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. And so that's what I really think. Neil Young needs somebody to love him. He's lived this whole life. He's in his 70s now. Mm-hmm. And everybody's forgotten about him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's just a lonely, miserable old man.
Right.
I mean, he really is kind of crotchety and old, and nobody pays attention to him anymore, so he needs attention.
Well, Crosby, Stills, and Nash eventually kicked him out of the band.
Yeah, he's always been a little crotchety, hadn't he?
Yeah.
But now he's just old and crotchety and lonely. Yeah. He said, I need someone to love me the whole day through. One to look in my eyes, and you can tell that's true. Lullabies, look in your eyes, run around the same old town doesn't mean that much to me, to mean that much to you. I've been first and last. Look at how time goes past. But I'm all alone at last, rolling home to you.
Wow.
Old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. One look in my eyes, and you can tell That's true. Oh, man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you. So we're going to go ahead and listen to that now, if I can get my...
He's living out his own prophecy.
Isn't he? Is. Yeah, it's interesting that he is. So anyway, we leave you with that. Hey, everybody, have a great, safe week. Tell others about this. Pass this on to people. We thank you so much for listening. God bless. Talk to you next week.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Look at my life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you. Time goes past.